The Church of God the Eternal presents a message by Mr. John Brisby for the night to be much observed, April 14th, 2014.
Well, good evening to each and every one of you on this opening night of the 7-day Feast of Unleavened Bread. The sun has just set, and here we are now gathered together as we are commanded for a special time of celebration. And God has commanded then that we take special note of the meaning of this night. It is the beginning of a high holy day, the first day of unleavened bread, but even more specifically, it is the moment that pictures the very freedom that was offered to Israel, the fulfillment of all of their hopes and their desires for generations, physically when they were set free from their slavery. And so God wanted ancient Israel to remember it, to take note of it. And so for the New Testament church, God likewise wants us to take note. So by tradition of Mr. Raymond Cole, not because we want to make a sermon or spend a lot of time on this particular night in a convocation, but as an informal way to remind us of what it is we're doing this evening in our celebration with food and fellowship, let's go through a quick overview. The real purpose for the night to be much observed is a celebration of the grace, otherwise known as the forgiveness, that each one of us has been offered by God. The ancient Israelites were not better or more worthy as a people, and yet God selected them. How blessed were they? Notice Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 through 8. Deuteronomy 7, beginning in verse 6. For thou art and holy people unto the Eternal thy God. The Eternal thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Eternal did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Eternal loved you and brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And so likewise, that physical example, it is a type, because God also called us to be a part of a special people that are set apart. And he didn't call us because we're better either. No way. Notice 1 Corinthians 1, beginning in verse 26. 1 Corinthians 1, beginning in verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So the whole purpose of our calling is to give glory to God. And that's why he calls individuals into his church, which are not the wise and the most respected among the people of the world. So we didn't earn it, we didn't deserve it, but for reason God called us, and how blessed are we because we are part of that few at this time. The enslaved Israelites were saved by miraculous means. They were offered the grace of God through the one who became Jesus Christ. He was the God who set them free. So let's read quickly through Exodus 12, beginning in verse 21. A reminder of what God did. The Passover of that night. The following night then, the beginning of unleavened bread, when they walked out of Egypt. Beginning in verse 21 of Exodus 12, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Eternal will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Eternal will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And so we have the Passover service that we participated in again last night, 24 hours ago. And it shall come to pass when you be come to the land which the Eternal will give you according as he hath promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean you by this service? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Eternal's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head in worship. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Eternal had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass, verse 29, that in midnight the Eternal smote all of the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Eternal as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. What a miracle that through those 10 consecutive plagues upon Egypt, God unfolded a drama, if you will, that resulted in an orientation of mind of those captors, which made them stand in fear and awe of the Creator God. Even though they didn't know him, they didn't like him, but they were forced to respect him. What a miracle indeed. Verse 34, and the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Eternal gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men besides children, and a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds and even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Verse 40. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. That's a long time for a family and its descendants to be in captivity. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Eternal went out from the land of Egypt. Verse 42, it is a night to be much observed unto the Eternal for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Eternal to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And so even as the physical people of God, whom he handpicked in that day and made a great nation of them, set them free and allowed them to become a nation by virtue of the miracle of his hand. And so he wanted them to celebrate and to remember year by year on the annual memorial of that Exodus, the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness of God to grant them those wonderful blessings. In the very same way, you and I, the spiritual Israel, those who possess the Holy Spirit, begotten of the Spirit through our covenant with God, through baptism, He wants us likewise to remember and to appreciate and to thank Him for the redemption that we have been given, the forgiveness of sin, the grace that makes us part of the body of the Church of God, with the hope and the expectation of living with the Father and the Son forever in a glorious future. So as we assemble here to begin this Feast of Unleavened Bread, we are here to rejoice in the mercy and the forgiveness that has been offered to us, as it was given to Israel of old. In closing, Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, because you believe this plan is real, although that spirit body, the Spirit God family, the Father and the Son today are invisible, and yet we believe by the action that they have made in our lives that they are real and their work is real. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And so God wants you and me to rejoice this night. It's not just a party among those we love who share our same ideology religiously, which of course we do, but it is because this pictures our freedom from the bonds of death, the sin, otherwise our guilt, which would condemn us to a future with no hope. But by the death of Jesus Christ and by accepting His shed blood, then we have the opportunity to be freed from the penalty, the eternal penalty of death, even as Israel was set free from Egypt. So we have much to celebrate tonight, and that may all of you now enjoy the beginning of this 7-day festival and take hold in mind as well as physically, and especially those things spiritually, which do give us so much to celebrate on this opening night of the feast.